Hello and welcome to another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm glad you've joined us today. The More Abundant Life radio broadcast features the ministry of Pastor Wentley Phipps. You'll hear inspiration from the spoken word and also inspiration from music. Today's message is entitled, Do You Know Jesus? Or Do You Know Christ? And the music that we have today is going to be from one of the older CDs by Pastor Wentley Phipps, the one entitled simply Wentley Phipps. We will hear now a song entitled Tell Me Again. Stay with us for our program today on The More Abundant Life.
But Lord, I'm looking back on all those yesterdays, the many times I let you down. I'm begging you to hear me pray and tell me again that you love me, and you love me till the stars fall from the sky. Just tell me that you love me, and the love you have for me will never die. I can tell when first we start to drift apart, an emptiness just takes hold of my wounded heart. Lord, you know I need to feel you by my side, 'cause when the night is cold and I've been too bold, there's no need to hide. Just tell me again that you love me, and you love me till the stars fall from the sky. Just tell me again that you love me, and the love you have for me will never die. And if you like the way I will follow you into that land of gladness, no more sadness.
Sat upon the Mount of Olives, taking in the glorious scenes of his creative power. In the midst of the approaching darkness, his eyes fell on a home lit up in preparation for a festive celebration. Light was shining from every window, and there was a steady stream of chatter, punctuated with shouts of laughter. Jesus knew those sounds well. He knew it to be the climax of the customary festivities that come with a wedding in the East. He could tell that the people were waiting for the groom to arrive with his blushing virgin bride. From time to time, the disciples would cast an interested gaze in the direction of that humble dwelling. And so our Lord used this as an opportunity to teach one of the most sobering lessons in all of Scripture. 10 young virgins, said Jesus, clothed in white linen, were waiting anxiously for a wedding procession. Each held in their hands a lamp that was lit. And at their side, they carried flasks, little vessels that held extra oil. As the hours passed, said Jesus, those waiting to celebrate the wedding became impatient because of the delay. And everyone, weary, fell asleep, unaware that their lamps had begun to flicker as though ready to go out. But suddenly at midnight, in the deepest, darkest hour of the night, at midnight, when every heart had faltered and every soul was asleep, a cry was heard rousing the resting maidens from their sleep. Behold, the bridegroom has arrived. Come, everyone, let us go out to meet him. The 10 maidens spring to their feet just in time to hear the happy couple singing their song of love and promise, marching triumphantly through the streets. The 10 maidens leapt to their feet, intending to join the procession as it passes by. Carefully, they all begin to fill their lamps with oil, but 5 of the virgins realized that their flasks had no oil in them. They did not anticipate such a lengthy delay. They had not made preparations for any emergency of this nature. And in the dark of night, their failure and lack of judgment is exposed. It is midnight. The bridegroom has returned. Their presumption is made evident. Are you with me this morning? Their oversight is brought to light. And when the night was at its darkest, they saw the folly of their ways. And so they began to petition their companions to share a little oil with them. We cannot, said their friends. We have already filled our lamps with the oil that we had prepared, and there is no more oil left in our flask. Hurry, they say, go and try to buy some from those who might sell and meet us at the bridegroom's house. And so they went, said Jesus, to buy their oil. But by the time they reached the bridegroom's house, they found that the door was shut and the windows were locked. They knocked and pleaded with the celebrants inside to open the door and let them in. Instead, sadly, they heard the voice of the bridegroom saying to them, "Who are you? And from whence have you come? I cannot open the door to you, for I know you not." Church, those 5 virgins are left standing alone in the dark of night, dressed up with no place to go. Brothers and sisters, this story, this narrative told to the disciples by Jesus is really a sad and prophetic word. It is, I believe, one of the most serious warnings in all of Scripture. Serious because it is a warning directed to all who claim to be believers in Christ. Directed at you. Directed at me. It is directed to all who view themselves as candidates for the kingdom. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Praise God for his holy word. The book of Matthew, chapter 7. And I want us to read together, King James Version, verse 21. Matthew 7, verse 21. And we're going to read for a while this morning. Is that all right? The word of God says, verse 21, let's read it together. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Here again, Jesus is speaking to believers. Those who profess to live a life of faith. He speaks to those who claim to be waiting for his coming. Bear in mind, this narrative of the virgins is from our Lord Jesus Christ's first sermon. And it is from the Sermon on the Mount, and he ends this Sermon on the Mount, not with some word of motivation and inspiration, but he ends his Sermon on the Mount with a warning to believers. He warns us that a large number of us who have claimed him as Lord, a large number of us who do good, who are well-intentioned, when the accounts are tallied and each case is settled, that we will be lost. Not because we didn't call on his name. We did. Not because we didn't witness to others. We did. Not because we didn't do great and wonderful works in his name, and we did. No, we will be lost because we lacked a relationship of intimacy with God. We will be lost because we lacked a friendship of intimacy with God. Brothers and sisters, after we've done all that we can do to serve the Lord and walk in the light of his word, after all of that, it is still only by knowing God that you will be ready to meet Jesus when he comes. I don't care what church you belong to. If you don't know God, you're not ready. In this parable from Jesus, five virgins rise. They're ready to meet him. Five others rise, deluded by a false sense of confidence, only to discover that in their journey of faith, they've neglected a most crucial duty. The bridegroom rejects them because their deficit is a serious one. It is a grave deficit. Their breach is one that cannot be repaired overnight. Their preparation to meet him is judged by the bridegroom as being woefully inadequate, and the Lord says, depart from me. The bridegroom is so astounded by their complacency that he pronounces judgment upon them and declares their negligence as inexcusable. They have been faithful in much. They left out something very important. Are you with me this morning? They missed a vital link in the chain. They gambled that their good works would be enough to render them acceptable to God, but they have miscalculated. And now, just when they need their vessels trimmed and burning, just when they need to be ready to join that grand procession of saints, they are left behind because they were not in possession of a relationship of intimacy with Christ that was constant and was so powerful that that relationship became a saving relationship. Not every relationship with God is a saving one. Did you hear me this morning? Only relationships of intimacy, closeness. Those virgins are left behind because they didn't have that. They are out of oil, and that's what the oil represents. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. And you see, the way you have a relationship with God that is intimate is that you learn to walk in the Spirit. Amen? They are out of oil, and it's too late to try to make up ground. They failed to cover in times of peace. Brothers and sisters, these five virgins did not have in their possession the vital virtue that compels the bridegroom to open the door and declare them fit for the kingdom. The bridegroom does not rebuke them for their evil deeds, notice. Did you notice that? The bridegroom doesn't rebuke them for their evil deeds. He does not reprove them for their unconfessed sins. He does not say, you can't come in because you did this. Stay with me. He didn't say, you can't come in, you didn't do that. He does not say, you can't come in, my house is crowded. He doesn't say, you can't come in, my banquet is full. Instead, he says, painfully, sorrowfully, depart from me. Go your way. I'm sorry, but I don't know you. Brothers and sisters, there's no more devastating word in the scripture than for God to look at you and say, I don't know you. There is no more shocking judgment in the word of God. And most of us, and here is the word from God this morning, most of us who are in this house of worship today, who one day hope to be saved, are going to hear those words. Never knew you. And you never knew me, really. You told others we were close, but I never knew you. I sought your companionship at the breaking of the dawn, but you never came. I looked for you in the cool of the day, but you never came. When trials came to you, I thought for sure you'd call on my name. Instead, you called up some earthly friend on the telephone. Told them your needs before you told me. You went to the house next door in search of your blessing. You wet your pillow with tears, and you thought I wouldn't hear you when you pleaded with me. Waited for you to come to bend on bended knee, but you never came. God said, I hope someday you'd see the light, that you'd have to walk by faith and not by sight, but you went it alone. And in the shadows, says Jesus, I wept for you. I read once where a minister said, when I turned 30, I wanted to build a large church. He said, at 40, I wanted to learn how to preach. He said, but at 50, all I want to do is know God. Just want to know him. Just want to know him. Like a mountain, you cannot really appreciate the majesty of God until you're right up close. Have you noticed that? Until you're right up on a mountain, you never know how really grand it is. Brothers and sisters, we as Christians must face the terrible fact. I want you to stay with me a few moments this morning. That we have made too many other things the focus of our faith. We don't realize that when the sum and total of your faith is put together to know God intimately, to know God passionately, to serve Him with all your heart, that is the sum and total of faith. Instead, we have put at center stage in our lives things that are largely peripheral, superficial. We have elevated duties God considers marginal to a place of importance. Are you with me this morning? We have given these superficial things star billing in the theater of our struggle, in the drama of our faith, and we have shifted our focus ever so gradually away from knowing God to what one writer called secondary values. Are you with me this morning? I'm trying to grasp and grapple with this issue this morning. We have sought comfort in what Jesus has said. We've been inspired by His mighty deeds. We've even rehearsed them until now we feel that entrance into heaven is obtained by making a passing grade on God's multiple choice exam. Some of us start to see the kingdom that way. It reminds me of that little boy who visited his friend's grandmother's house. And every time he was at his friend's grandmother's house, she'd always be reading the Bible, always reading the Bible. There's an old lady sitting in a rocking chair just reading the Bible. Finally, one day he said to his friend, tell me, every time we go by your grandmama's house, she's reading the Bible. Why do you think your grandmama reads the Bible so much? And his friend said, well, I'm not really sure, but I think maybe it's because she's cramming for her finals. We think of getting into heaven almost as though we're cramming for our finals. We've begun to feel that the security of our faith comes from our ability to quote verse and chapter. Yes. Stay with me this morning. When the real security of your faith comes from knowing Him. Do you know Him? Can you imagine the disciples listening to the Sermon on the Mount and Peter saying to the others, how are we supposed to remember all this? Can you imagine James saying, will we be tested on this? And Philip saying, is anyone taking notes? And John saying, is this an assignment we're going to have to turn in? I want you to know the point that we're making this morning is that we have made our faith so task-oriented. Stay with me this morning. We've lost the vital component upon which we will be judged. You're going to be judged not on what you know. You're going to be judged on who you know. Do you know Him? Standing in the darkness like those five virgins, your soul is going to be weighed in the balances, and the angels will not ask you for your ministerial credentials. They won't ask you for proof of membership. They're not going to ask you for your dossier of spiritual accomplishments. They're not going to ask you to see your scars either. Some of us are so proud of our battle scars. They won't have time for you to tell them of the battles you fought and the victories you've won. All they're going to ask you is, do you know God? Do you know Him? Is the bridegroom your friend? Are you with me this morning? For this is the way to eternal life. Know Him. As the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Church, I want you to know this is a serious message. One of the most serious messages I've ever preached in my life. Jesus is warning that many of us in the church are going to be lost. And the main reason we're going to be lost is not because of the wrong things we did. He can handle it. You didn't think so, but He can. There is nothing you have done that God can't handle. There is nothing so vile that His blood can't cover. You are not going to be lost because of what you've done. Stay with me. The primary reason we will be lost is because we neglected to take full advantage of the privilege to know Him. God said, son, it's clear. Many Christians will be lost because they failed to develop a relationship of intimacy. You know, we focus almost exclusively on the auxiliary requirements of our faith. Things that are important, but they're not of absolute total importance with God. We neglect the one thing which without it we shall never see heaven. What am I saying? Some of us put more effort into making it to Sabbath school than we put in our walk with God. We put more effort in putting the right amount in the offering plate. Are you with me this morning? Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. If a man abideth not in me, he is what? Cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Brothers and sisters, we are not saved because of the volume of our good deeds exceeding the volume of our evil deeds. This is not life eternal. This is not how we're going to get there. We're going to get there because we know him. Amen? Brothers and sisters, one more time, turn with me to Luke 13. You still there? The book of Luke 13. Look at verse 23. Oh, thank God for his word. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall you begin to say, but we have eaten and drunk in your presence. We went to church. Huh? We listened to you when you taught us in the streets. And he shall say, I tell you, I don't know you. God have mercy. Do you know God? Do you know him?
Well, that brings us to the end of the message for today. The message entitled, Do You Know Jesus? Message numbers 274 in our series. If you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church at 301-577-6342. The phone number again, 301-577-6342. And please reference program number 274. I do hope that you will join us again for another program, but until you can, my name is Adrian Westney. I want to wish you the best for this week. And remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10. That's where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your